host of the Boost Podcast with me, Graham Farmer. And today on the podcast, I welcome Marbs from the Desert Hearts crew from Los Angeles. Marbs has reached a new peak in his career over the last year, which culminated in him launching the new Desert Hearts subsidiary, Desert Hearts Black Label, with Evan Casia, the heavier, melodic-leaning imprint, and Club Series launched with a smash success with his debut EP, Taurus, reaching Beatport overall number one spot, and its inaugural warehouse party selling out. We met a few weeks ago and to talk about what he's up to now, how he's producing music, live streaming, Desert Hearts, and everything in his world. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Let's jump into it.
Hey, Marbs, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. It's very late here and it's very early. Is it early there? Where are you? You're in Los Angeles.
I'm in Los Angeles, so it's like midday. It's like 1 o'clock, so I'm good.
Okay,
but
cool.
Thank you for getting on with me at this time.
That's okay. No probs. So for the very small part of our audience that don't know who you are, can you sort of tell us how you came to be and your way, what you do now, and like how you got to where you are now, essentially?
Yeah, totally. First, thanks for having me. Stoked to talk. My name is Matt Marbella, but I've been called Marbs since I was a very young boy. It comes from my last name, and that's been a nickname I was given long before I was a musician. I've always done art my whole life since I can remember, and I've been a music lover since I was young. When I got into DJing in college, and when I got out of college, when Mikey Lyon, as most people know him, one of my partners at Desert Hearts, got out of college as well, we started going to parties in San Diego to try to find the electronic music that we liked, and it was sparse. You couldn't find a lot of it, but we connected a lot over that, and we started having the idea of like, look, we've grown up in San Diego our whole lives, both of us have really large friend groups here. Why don't we start finding bars that'll let us throw parties, and we'll just start DJing the music that we like, and we'll be with our friends, and it'll all be good. Yeah. We started doing those parties called Jungle, and we basically would go into little beach bars and stuff, and we'd turn them over at night into these raging electronic music parties and house and techno, and it was such a fun time and a lot of experimentation and creativity and figuring out what we wanted to do. Well, over the year or two that we first started doing that, we started also going out to like illegal desert parties out in like the Mojave Desert and desert raves.
Nice.
And we were kind of going out there, and they were really cool, but there was always like something missing. There was like, oh, the music's really good, but it's kind of all over the place. There's no flow, or like the location's really cool and the people are amazing, but this isn't really our type of music. So like one day we were all partying out of the desert. We're like, we had made friends with Lee Reynolds by then, and Porky's brother was out there with us, and we met this guy named Christoph, who was more in the desert rave scene. We were all sitting down like, why don't we do this? Why don't we throw a camping event? And the idea was to get out of the bars so that we didn't have to shut down at 2 a.m. We could be with all our friends camping and having fun out in the wilderness and play music as long as we wanted and do whatever we wanted. So we did it. We went out. We had 300 people out in the middle of the desert. It was crazy. You'd be going on the highway, the 395, and the directions were all in like an email. And it would say like, okay, you're gonna come to this dirt road a kilometer past this intersection. You're gonna turn right on the dirt road. You're gonna set your odometer, go 3 kilometers into the desert and find the pile of rocks and turn left. And like, it was just ridiculous. And then by the time you got to the party, you're like, had no idea where you were, but you were stoked to be there. And it was this epic weekend where it was hard. It was really, really cold. It was getting down into 20 degrees Fahrenheit, like 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Nice. Yeah, and like we had like water getting frozen in our water bottles.
That's the minuses. That's the minus C's, though. Christ.
It was crazy. And like, it was hard. We didn't know what was going to happen. Our sound didn't show up. We had to call different people to bring in sound. which actually ended up being the people that we still use today at the festival. And we didn't know them back then. They got introduced to us while we were out in the desert with one bar of service, trying to figure out how to get people out there. By the time the new sound got out there, everyone is acquainted because we're all huddled around a fire with no music, getting to know each other, which actually ended up being a blessing in disguise because it really made everyone connect on a different level than if we all just showed up to a party and started partying. So it all happened for a reason. And after that weekend, we woke up on Sunday and it was beautiful out. The sun was out. And we all looked around and we're like, you know what? I think we're going to do this. I think we're going to keep doing these. And that was the inception of it. And from there, the next one we did doubled the capacity.
What year were these?
That was 2012 was the first camp out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then now it's a 5,000 person festival. So we had no intention of throwing a festival. It was literally just, let's get out of the bars and go be with our friends out in the middle of nowhere. And it kept growing, and all of a sudden we're like, we're responsible for this people. We need to get permits. We need to get medical. We need to get all this stuff. And so we're just, we're a bunch of surfer boys, grew up skating and surfing and in San Diego, turned techie party boys. And all of a sudden we started learning how to throw festivals, and here we are.
Wow, yeah, I remember it came into my, like, the whole brand came into my ether, I don't know, maybe like 2014, maybe? And I kind of got an email going, you should check these guys out, they're doing these cool parties, can you write about them? I think it was a PR, probably, email said, can you write about them? And I was like, this does look cool, it looks amazing. Yes, let's write about it, sort of thing. and then I guess then the label kind of came after, a little bit after?
Yeah. So Desert Hearts Records started a little bit after that, a few years in, and that was Mikey's baby. He came to us and said, you know, I want to start a record label, but I want it to be more of like my project. And I did the art for him and for the record label, but it was really under his vision. And he's done such an amazing job with it. The way it represents the house, tech house, and like the daytime and going into nighttime energy of the festival is just spot on. And I'm so proud of what he's done with that project. And over the years, as I got more into production and everything, with the creation of my Taurus EP, the idea of a sub-label came to me when I realized that this music fits really well into my sets, but it doesn't quite fit on the main label of our business. And so I went to the boys and said, hey, look, like I really want to put this out with Desert Hearts, but I was thinking maybe it would be a good opportunity for me to start a sub-label called Desert Hearts Black, which would be more geared towards the dark, heavier, later night hours of the festival and the early morning kind of trippy hours of the festival. And I was a little nervous asking the boys, like, you know, starting this whole project on my own under it and everything with everything underway. But they were so supportive, and it meant a lot to me that I got, like, everyone was in favor of it. And it started as an idea, and now it's been such an energizing project without having to do anything separate from our community and our umbrella that I'm really, really stoked on it. And it's been cool to have this new thing without breaking off to focus on and to really ignite a fire under me in the production world, which I've needed. I got a little bit late into production. It was intimidating. I got into it, and it was DJing's one thing. Production's very, very hard. And
what was stopping you getting into it?
I mean, I got into it. I probably started doing 6-7 years ago, and it just was really, really, really hard. I don't have any background in playing instruments or any music theory or anything like that. I have a good ear for music and a love for it, and I know what I want to hear and I know what I want to make. And maybe that was part of the reason it was so intimidating, was getting in and spending hours and hours in YouTube. I call it YouTube University, learning things on YouTube, and just trying to get to the place where you would have an idea in your head and then being able to create it with instruments and put it into Ableton and have it represent exactly what you wanted, it was very difficult. I put out my Tuscan Tales EP, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, and then I thought I was ready. I put it out and I was proud of it. Looking back, it's not really music that fits into my set or anything, but I'm happy that I did it because it was an opportunity for me to realize, like, okay, yeah, you made something and that's something to be proud of, but you have a lot of work to do to get to where you want to be. And so that's why when I made a decision to kind of, you know, I'm not going to put anything out again until I'm playing it and I love how it's received in those experiences. And so I put my head down for 3-4 years. It was a main focus for me. I started working with Rinzin and my partner in the label, Evan Casey, and that's how we made that Taurus EP, which came together in like 2 sessions. It was just, it was crazy how quickly it came together and how much in love we were with. But for people that are listening, the biggest thing for me, if you are into production and you're resonating with what I'm saying, one of the biggest things for me was to get over the self consciousness and the maybe the ego of I need to know how to do all of this on my own before I work with other people, because that's kind of how I am. I want to contribute when I'm working with other people. And once I got over that and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go work with this guy, it was so amazing. And I learned more in those sessions than probably I did in years of looking at YouTube, because it was easy to see how to apply the knowledge and make the things that we wanted to make. And so I'm really, really grateful that I got linked up with Rinzin and that me and Evan found him and started working, because he was a big part of what pushed me into where I am now. And with the EP that just came.
I had that literally that conversation with someone the other day. They were like, oh, I'm making loads of my own music and I'm getting there. And I'm like, but I'm getting where I'm running out of idea. Like I've got stuck. And I was like, why don't you, like, you've got plenty of time at the moment. Like, we're in a situation where everyone's stuck at home. Why don't you collab with someone on the internet? And he was like, you could tell that kind of whole, I want to get it right in my own head, or I want to bring to the table, came into play straight. Like literally, like you just said, because he was like, oh no, I want to get the music right on my own way first. And then I'll go and do work with someone else. And I'm like, why don't you just, you need that help. You need new ideas and you need new things brought to the table, you know?
Yeah. And it's good to be put in positions where you're uncomfortable, you know, that's where we grow. So for people that have that feeling, once you get over it and you get put in, and I mean, the first time I was sitting with Rinzin, I was like, yeah, I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I paid attention and I applied myself and I made sure to be vocal about my ideas and what I wanted to create. And it was a key contribution to the dynamic with us. And he explained that that was rejuvenating for his energy too, even though that I didn't have a technical background, it did bring something to the team. And I by the end of the sessions, I was heavily involved in all of it and really learned a lot. And by that second session, we were all completely a huge part of it. And so, yeah, I think that, like, just like with anything in life, self-consciousness and ego and things like that definitely get in our way. And the second that we can let go of that, it really opens us up to grow a lot.
Yeah, 100%. And so that release came out last year, Taurus?
Yeah, it came out in August. And then I just put out my first solo EP since Tuscan Tales last week.
Cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then how many other? And then, so yeah, that's now, is that the second release for the label? Or have you done? I'm sure I've seen a few more come out.
Oh, on Desert Roads Black, yeah. No, we're actually this Thursday. We're on our 9th release. We have a guy from Australia, really, really good dude. I met him on our little mini tour, named Luke Alessi. He's got a 2-track EP coming out. We've released music from Thugfucker, Gregoric, nice. And also Tim Englehart, Lunar Plane, Arud, Dance Spirit, who's good friends of ours. And we have, I can't announce too much, but we have some really cool stuff that's cooking right now too. And it got set up before everyone got on lockdown. So we're really anxious to hear what these really special people are creating for us while they now have more time.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what music comes out of this period. It's like, whenever you look back in history over all the periods that have been like, that have been bad, there's always a lot of really, really great music that have come out the other side of it. And it's, I'm a little bit, I'm excited for that. Also, I'm very conscious that people are still dying and not to be over, you know, too overly happy, you know?
No, but I felt the same exact way when this started. Was like, look, like, what are the positives that are going to come out of this? Creativity is going to be through the roof.
Yeah.
Everyone that had no time at all of a sudden got handed time without any plan to do it. And I see a lot of people not taking that for granted. I see a lot of people getting after it, making music, doing all this live stream stuff that's taking off. And I really think that one of the great silver linings out of this is that there's going to be some really cool music and art coming out of it. And that will be it'll be symbolic of what everyone went through and all the pain and everything. So I think when beautiful things come out of terrible things, that it's nice on the other side to have that and to hold on to it.
Yeah, I just trying to keep every day trying to be appreciative of what I've got that's not better at the moment. A lot, you know, like I said before, I'm spending more time with my daughter because she's not at school, so I get to spend, you know, whole days educating her and teaching her the world, you know.
Totally.
You know, I get to spend more time with my family, and it's those sort of things. I get more time, but there's more, I seem to be doing more work than ever at the moment, which is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Like I see these people on these like Netflix holidays, and I'm like, fuckers, I'm still grinding away, you know. It's like, but then the other side, I'm like, oh well, I'll come out of it the other side, you know, in a great position.
Yeah, but I think the people that are going to stay, I mean, we don't know how long this thing's going to last, but we're still, it's been about a month, but we're still fresh in it. People still have their checks and all that. So I think the people, at least their checks that from the money that's coming in from before this happened. But I think that the people that are not working during this time are going to have a lot harder of keeping their mental state good. People vegging out, watching Netflix and stuff. It's good to re-energize, but we need, especially in isolation, keeping busy is a key component in keeping your mental state healthy. So hopefully more people take that on and start finding some freedom and being able to either explore new things that they didn't have time for, or to have the time to really dial in the things that they've been passionate about so far.
Yeah, or just starting new stuff. Like if you're sat around with nothing to do, just start something new and create something new, because you've got all this time, you know?
Totally. And I think like one of the beautiful things that will come out of this, it's really going to make everyone appreciate everything more. I mean, like I grew up surfing my whole life. Now that I've been touring more and moved away from the beach cities, I haven't surfing as much, but to hear that someone can't go in the ocean or someone can't go to a park, like that's a crazy thing. That is a wild concept. And when this thing is over, when we can go surf in the ocean, or we can go to the park and have a coffee with your best friend or whatever it may be, I really think that there's going to be a rejuvenated appreciation for these little things that all of us took for granted. And that's beautiful. That is something positive coming out of this.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's going to be some really long hugs between some people, because they haven't seen each other for a while and they've got through a load of stuff together. And I think, yeah, it's going to be amazing. What's been affected from a kind of Desert Hearts point of view? Have you had to cancel shows? Have you had to postpone festivals? Have you had to, has anything that side been affected?
Yeah, so in the time that this has been going on, I've had 14 shows already canceled and some postponed. Our Desert Hearts Festival, which was coming up here in about 3 weeks, that was postponed to now the end of October. Everything by the week is getting either canceled or postponed. Yeah, I mean, as you know, and a lot of people know, our industry was one of the first ones that got affected by all of the stuff changing and public gatherings and stuff. So I really think we're probably going to be one of the last to get to bounce back from this. And it is worrisome, but trying to stay positive. I mean, the DHTV thing that we started in light of having more time, and since we are postponing everything, keeping busy, this whole DHTV project where we're doing live streams every day has become an amazing thing for us and the community. I'm so grateful that we are going through this in a time that we have those resources to be able to at least stay virtually connected with people.
Oh, totally. Do you know the amount of times I've seen on the internet, on Facebook, for instance, where you see someone saying it was better in the 80s, it was better in the 90s, and now you just think we'd have been fucked in those times, because you would have had a phone, you'd have had a radio, and you'd have had, you know, the people that are literally around you, and that was it. And you wouldn't have had to work, you wouldn't have had to do anything but just sit around, and it'd been with literally four channels on the telly, you know?
Yeah, it would be fucking terrible. And a lot more people, like I was saying earlier, I think a lot more people would have a hard time keeping their marbles and not losing their head.
Yep.
Like the experiences that we're having with the live streams, to be completely transparent and vulnerable, I was a little weird about going into live streams. I'm not that comfortable in front of cameras, and my communication is music and art and that kind of thing. So I was a little hesitant when we decided to do the live streams. But the second that we started doing them, it all went out the window. It felt intimate. We were answering questions coming over live. So there was a connection, a live connection with a human being that wasn't in my household, and multiple human beings. And then when we were DJing, the Twitch chats they're incredible. It's like you're partying with people, and like you start forgetting that you're in front of cameras, and all of a sudden you feel like you are feeling the energy of these people, and they're sending videos of them dancing and all dressed up in their Desert Hearts gear in their,
nice.
In their living rooms. And it's been really heartwarming, and it's been a highlight of my week every week. So yeah, I'm really grateful for what we have during these hard times.
That was my next question, is which platforms are you streaming on? You know, you mentioned Twitch.
Yeah, we started on all of them. The first week we did Facebook, Twitch, we did Instagram, we did YouTube. Now we're gearing more towards Twitch. It seems like the best platform, and they offer opportunities for people to subscribe to your channel and things, which offers people opportunity to monetize this a little bit, and people have memberships, and by that they get like little Desert Hearts logos and little emojis they can use that are specific that we create and things. And so we're gearing more towards Twitch, and then recording the live streams so that we can air them after the live stream on the other platforms. So cool. If people missed it, they can hang out and look at it on another day.
Are you doing anything to send your audience from like Facebook to Twitch? I know a lot of people have got big fan followings on Facebook, for instance. Are you doing anything cool to send them over, or is it just a case of posting and going, we're live over here, driving them up?
Yeah, for the most part, like on Facebook and things, we're posting the link to Twitch and making sure that we're directing people there. But last week, since we were going through the transition of focusing on one platform, we still had Instagram running, and we would pop in and like hang out in the chat for a little bit, and then be like, hey, like the audio and stuff and the chat and everything is a lot better over at Twitch. If you guys want to hop over there, you'll be able to hear the music better, which is true, because we're using the OBS system to do our live streams. And so that allows us to actually run lines from the mixer into our sound card or the computer. And then you get the actual real raw sound of what we're playing, instead of it bouncing off everything and getting recorded by your phone or something.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have been thinking this is exactly the same, like run something where it's just on a, like the audio is really rubbish across Facebook and Instagram, and then go, right, the good audio is over on Twitch, go and listen to it. That'll send all the people over.
Yeah, I thought exactly that the doing same. Really well.
I'm so glad you're doing that, because I literally thought that the other day, and I'm glad it's being implemented somewhere, which is cool.
Yeah, and it's something that we think we're going to do it forever now. Obviously, we won't do it as much as we're doing now once everything's better, but it's now turned into something that's going to be another outlet for us and another way to stay connected to our community, which we use that word regularly, and we believe it so much, family and community, because that's something special about what we've attracted and the magnet that this Desert Hearts thing has created. It's really attracted a lot of amazing people. So to be able to find more ways to keep our community connected is so important to us.
Yeah. And for those that are listening and they want to get on Twitch, like the affiliate status, which is what you're talking about. So you can earn a revenue. I actually tested it out the weekend for myself as an artist. And it's taken me 3 days to become an affiliate, so I now can monetize on Twitch. And I'll put the link in the show notes for this show so that you can go and do it yourself.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, it was really quick. It's the thing with SoundCloud. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For us too, we were surprised. We didn't know how that whole thing worked, and it's been fun to learn it and see it actually work.
That's really cool. Like I'm so into the Twitch thing. Like the it's obviously it's a platform built for streaming, so it makes the most sense to be streaming on there, you know?
Totally. And it's so much fun. The Twitch chat is buck. People are going off in there. It's so much fun.
Are you doing it all from literally from your homes? Is that the?
Yeah. Right now we all have spaces at our homes for our studio and stuff. So we've kind of reorganized our studios to look aesthetically cool. And the first one I did, I had like a camera at my back and you could barely see anything, and it was fun. But everyone was like, "You guys should work on your angles." And so, yeah, the next week we all kind of made sure that we rearranged and made it look kind of presentable, and yeah, it's been, I'm lucky to have a space to do it. I just moved up to LA, literally got settled and all my synths into the studio and everything a couple of days before the lockdown happened, which I'm really grateful for, that I'm with my roommates for this whole experience. And then I lived in a condo in San Diego with a second bedroom as my studio then, but now we're in a house out in LA with a nice backyard and every day. Yeah, and it's been such a blessing to wake up in the morning and do my routine and eat some breakfast and then walk through the backyard to this separate guest house that's my studio. It's made me separate my work and hangout life a lot better. And it's been great for this live stream experience.
Talking about just saying about morning routines, do you have some sort of special, what do you do in the morning? What do you have, something that starts your day right? And is that helping, I guess, in this period?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a very set routine. I don't like setting an alarm. I wake up when I can, and that's a pleasure that I have. When I wake up, I take some time with my girlfriend and make some breakfast and connect for a little while and make some tea and just get my body feeling right. There's these supplements I take every day. That's a huge, huge part of my routine. Paul Stamets, he's the leader in mycology, the study of mushrooms. And I take his brain supplement pill, which is like a natural neurotropic, that helps with, brain connectivity and just keeping you clear headed and sharp. And then I also take lion's mane, which is kind of for the same thing. And, I used to have problems with, short-term memory, and I promise the second I started taking this stuff, it was measurably better, and I was hooked ever since. I take it every morning. So I take those. Anyone listening, if this interests you, it's called Host Defense, and Paul Stamets is a super interesting human. I highly recommend looking into it. It's brought in a lot of positivity into my life and made my general mood and clarity a lot better. So I do that, those supplements kind of kick in. I go out to the backyard and get some fresh air and walk around on the grass and under the tree. We have some rose bushes. I'll go check over on those and hang out. And then I treat the studio like a full-time job. So I clock in. As soon as I clock in, I put in at least 8 hours a day. Nice. When it's my way, it's all music and creativity. But a lot of the time it's also an office where I start off answering my emails, making sure I'm staying connected to the outside workload that I have, and then go into my more creative stuff as the day unfolds.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Do you have any regrets of stuff that you should have done?
But just in general? Or
yeah.
But,
yeah. Okay. Let's go wide.
Yeah, I think my parents got me, when I was very young, a membership to start taking guitar lessons and piano lessons. And if I could tell my past self to do that, that would have been amazing. But then I just wanted to surf and screw around. And I think that that could have been very helpful. Now, I try to live with no regrets. I think that we all end up in the place that we are now because of the choices and the things that we've done and the lessons we've either consciously or unconsciously put ourselves through. And I think that that is an example of that. I made that choice. I ended up in this career, and this is my life now. And then I learned it a different way. But yeah, I try not to live with regrets, to be completely honest. But I do wish I did that.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I just like, I wish I'd done that, fucker. Never mind.
Yeah. But who knows? Then maybe I would have been a guitarist and I wouldn't have been part of this incredible community. Maybe I would have been in dive bars or something. So
yeah, that's it. Maybe you've been playing for a couple of quid every night and dollars every night, sorry, and then and that would have been your life, just scratching and living, playing a guitar across the country.
Yeah, so which could have been cool, but I like where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. And what's the rest of the year? I guess the unknown year. How is that going to shape out?
Ooh, I mean, with all the uncertainty right now, that is a hard question to answer. You know, I really am confident that everything's going to turn out fine, and I hope that timeline happens in time for this to happen, or all the shows to come back on and festivals and all that stuff to come on sooner than later. But it's so uncertain right now. There's not a lot of talk about when this is really going to be better. And so I think the shift for a lot of, at least us internally for Desert Hearts and everything, is how to use this time productively. And we didn't have this time before, so how are we making sure that we are taking advantage of this newfound time? And for me, that means a lot of music getting made. I do a little background on me. I actually have been really heavily involved in the business side of Desert Hearts. I used to do, before we had enough money to hire employees and teams, I actually handled the financials. I did most of the logistics for the festival. I ran box office operations at the festival. I ran vendor and artist curation. I did a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. Now we have teams, so I've been able to focus more on music. But when we're touring and the festival's happening and there's all this stuff, it's hard to balance that with being able to go into the studio and create and focus on that side of my career. And so now I have the time to do that. And although what's going on is very, very terrible, I am making sure that I don't take that for granted and that I use that time, because that is a gift no matter where it came from. So while this uncertainty is happening, that's the year for me. I've already started a new EP. I'm nice. Working on a EP as well for me and Evan's debut duo EP on Desert Hearts Black, where we're working with one of our really good friends, Katie Kilbride. She lives in San Diego, and she's a beautiful, beautiful voice. And it's something that we learned later on. So we're stoked to be working with her and working on a vocal track for our EP.
Is the plan for you guys to just keep releasing on within your own label and it's like your literal own release on Desert Hearts for the time being, and just build yourself within your own label?
No, I think now that we've had that a really strong EP on Desert Hearts Black with Taurus, after me and Evan get our EP out in a couple months, that we can gear our focus into actually shopping around our music. That's something at least I want to do as an individual. Now that I have my solo release on Desert Hearts Records and things like that, I'll probably send out my music and shop it around a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for individual artists to have that, to break out from what they're already working in and have like a broader community as an individual as well. So that's a focus of mine for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, I keep getting, like, going back to the music thing, I get asked a lot. A lot of people message me going, what should I be doing right now? What should I be doing right now? My answer is always just sit and make music. Sit and make music. If you can live stream, of course. If you can't, but just sit and make music and just get loads in the bank, because you've got this time, man.
Yeah. And I think times like this, like when I'm touring heavily, when I'm making music, it usually reflects what I'm playing like on the club at like peak hours and stuff. But now I'm not playing in clubs and my inspiration is coming from other places. So it's actually really fun to create in that space because it opens up a lot of doors and opportunity for you to create things that maybe you wouldn't create in a different situation. And I'm still young in my production career, but when I started making music during this quarantine, I realized like I should start putting music away for an album whenever that lands, whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever. I should just be making music that I like that doesn't need to fit into a dance floor or this or that.
Yeah, nice.
And that's become another goal of mine, is to just get in here and have fun and see what I make.
I like some of the, I've seen a few of these competitions where they're making music out of one item. Like I saw one where they're making music, they had to make a whole track out of the sounds from a beer bottle.
Oh, wow.
And they literally would knock it and scratch it and polish it and plop it and whatever sounds like, and they had to make a whole track from it. And I'm loving some of that sort of thing. It's quite creative.
Yeah, that's epic. After this, if you could send me a link to that would be super cool. I want to check that out.
Yeah, I think there's a guy called Ben Remember did one, and from Tool Room, and a few others have done them where they just, you literally record all the sounds you can possibly think of trying to make. Like you hit the bottle, you scratch it, you pull it, you twist it, you know, you pop the lid off, and just record all those sounds and then put them in the computer and see what you can make.
So that's so much fun. I love that.
Yeah, there you go. Have a go at that. That sounds great fun.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely picked up household items and sampled it and tried to make it. I think in Silo, one of the shakers is actually a bunch of pistachios in a cup.
Amazing. I love that. I love all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I saw someone make a whole track from a packet of cereal, elastic band, and a packet of cereal and elastic band, I think it was.
People are incredible, man. The creativity some people have is just so cool.
Wicked. Thank you very much. It was incredible to talk to you, and thank you for your time. I wish you to stay healthy and stay happy, and thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been awesome, and it's been good to connect. I hope you stay healthy and things are positive over there for you as well.
Lovely. Thank you, man. See you soon.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have, please go, if you're listening to an Apple podcast, please go and give it a rating, give it a thumbs up, share it. It really helps the podcast grow on Apple Podcasts and goes up the chart, which means we can get bigger guests with bigger numbers, and which gives you more information and more tips. Thanks so much again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. I've been Graham Farmer. Bye.